Well, I am so very thankful this morning for that higher ground, for that amazing love that the Lord extended to each one of us that are here this morning. We are a blessed people this morning to be able to assemble together in the house of the Lord, to be able to approach His mighty, wonderful throne of grace and mercy, to be able to hear from the written Word of the Lord and for His Holy Spirit to confirm it in our hearts. We're truly a very blessed people. And this morning I have a message of encouragement that I feel like the Lord inspired me with for each one of you, and I hope that it will be an encouragement to you. And the subject this morning is that Jesus came to close the gap. Have you ever felt disheartened when you consider your righteousness or lack of compared to the righteousness of God? Have you ever looked behind you at the trail that you've been walking down through life and noticed many failures along the way, places where you stumbled, messed up, came short, disappointed the Lord, disappointed yourself? Have you ever been in the place where you look ahead and you see dark clouds? A heavy fog, and you don't know what the way is going to be? We've all been there, haven't we? Maybe we're there this morning. Have you ever spent much time reading in the Old Testament and read about how people fared under the old law and some of the things that happened to people that were under the law and failed, and what their end was? I've thought about all of these things that I just mentioned this morning, and I've got to tell you, it doesn't feel very good when I think about myself. Because when I look in my past and look behind me, I see too many failures that I'd like to have to acknowledge. I see places where I've disappointed myself and the Lord. I look at the way ahead and it's often uncertain. And when I think about the people that perished under the law, I don't know that I would have fared any better than they would have. When I put myself in their place. But I have good news for you this morning. And that is that our interaction with the Lord God in heaven does not end with the little amount of righteousness I might try to garner up and offer versus the great gulf or the righteousness of God. It doesn't end with the law. It doesn't end with darkness ahead. But this morning we can be encouraged in knowing that there is an alive city of refuge that the Lord has made for us to flee to. A city of refuge in Jesus Christ that is open for business 24/7 for every single one of us that are here this morning. A city of refuge in Jesus Christ, where there is no one exempted, there is no problem too big, there is no gap too great, there is no river that is too great to cross, but with the help of the Lord, there is victory for us in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. I'd like to start and read out of the 19th chapter of Luke, and because of time, I'm going to refer to different accounts this morning and maybe not just read all of them. But I would like to read a few verses here in the 19th chapter of Luke. And the first verse, it said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, whom he was, and could not for the press." You know, there's always seems like there's a press out there. "And it said, because he was little of stature, and he ran before, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it all, and when they saw it, they all murmured and said that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I want to start this morning by saying this, that regardless of what your physical stature may be relative to other people in this world, we are all small and of little stature relative to God. And every single one of us this morning need to be lifted up. All of us are dependent on a God and a Lord that is greater than we are, to lift us up from the place that we are and to be able to take us through this life with victory. We can't do it on our own. And we read a story this morning of a man that was wealthy in this world, but far from Jesus, if past practice was any indicator. And yet we find a man here that had an emptiness in his heart and in his soul. We find a man that was longing for something to satisfy him that he was yet able to find. A gulf that existed between him and the only one that could lift him up and give him peace and life. And we find this man wanting to make somehow have some kind of contact, visual, if that's all it was going to be, with Jesus. And so he went and he climbed a tree. And I think this morning that my guess is that Zacchaeus didn't feel worthy to have much more of an interaction with Jesus, but maybe just to be able to see Jesus. But did you know that the Lord had a different idea that day? The Lord came by and he looked up and he saw a man that had a troubled life. He saw a man that had a history of ungodly actions and behavior. He saw a man that if it was just left up to him, Zacchaeus, if it was just left up to Zacchaeus, the way probably wasn't going to look very good. The end, it wasn't going to be a very good end to the story. But the Lord looked up and he saw that there was a man that he had the answer to filling the gap. And to bringing the answer to this man's life that he needed. And he had a message for him. He said, Zacchaeus, come down because today I want to go and I'm going to be in your house today. Do you think that Zacchaeus felt worthy of the Lord coming to his house that day? Do you ever feel unworthy of the Lord taking time apart from all of the things that he could be doing to come and speak your name and say, I'd like to spend some time with you today. I'd like to spend some personal time with you today. Do you ever feel unworthy? Do you ever feel inadequate? Do you ever feel almost afraid of what that afternoon might look like if the Lord came and sat down with you in your house? I think we've probably all been in places in our life and perhaps are today where we feel less than adequate of the Lord. That's the way I feel often, folks. We need the Lord today. But the Lord came and He had a message for Zacchaeus, and something special happened for Zacchaeus that day. And Zacchaeus went away a happy man, and we read this story, and sometimes I wonder if there are those among us in the congregation that are here and are endeavoring to live for the Lord, but maybe aren't experiencing the happiness that you read that Zacchaeus had that day. And you feel like that your opportunity for a Zacchaeus experience has passed by. That window of opportunity is gone, because after all, you've already been saved. Maybe you look back and that was a long time ago, and yet you find that you still have a need in your life. You find that you failed along the way. You find that there's darkness maybe around you in certain areas, burdens that you're bearing, that you're carrying, things about yourself that you haven't gained victory over as quickly as what you would like. And sometimes we can read these stories and feel like that, well, that was a good story for Zacchaeus, but there's a gap that I have in my life and I'm not sure what the answer is, and I think maybe it's too late. Do you ever feel like it's too late? You ever run across those places in your life and you feel like that the opportunity to have that experience with the Lord has passed you by? I think about the woman that was caught in adultery. You remember her, and they brought her to Jesus, and boy, they thought they had her, didn't they? They brought her to Jesus and they said, "Lord, what are we going to do with this woman here? She's been caught in the very act of adultery." Well, what did the law say to do? Did the law say, slap her on the wrist, tell her to do better next time, and let her go? That's not what the law said, was it? What did the law say to do? It says she'd be stoned, didn't it? That right there was going to spell the end. But Jesus was Lord over the law. I'm so thankful today that Jesus is Lord over the law. And He brought something that went beyond what the scribes and the Pharisees, whoever it was that brought these things to Him. The Lord was God over that, and this lady was able to depart free. Don't you know she walked on cloud nine that day when she departed? But have you ever felt like that you crossed that line of that place of no return? I have an idea that if we went around the congregation this morning, there would be many people here that have been in places in their life where you have felt like you have crossed the line where there's no answer left to be redeemed in the good graces of the Lord. Because we find that we fail, we find our righteousness is inadequate, we find a lot of times that we're not what we had hoped to be in of ourselves. Have you ever found that? And sometimes we get to the place where we feel like that we've crossed a line of no return. And I think about the thief that was on the cross that day with Jesus. What opportunity did he have for redemption? Did he have any opportunity for redemption in his mind that day? He was nailed to a cross, and time was running out, and death was quickly approaching. And he looked back behind his life, and no doubt saw sin and trouble. And he looked out ahead, and he saw no way. For that great gulf that existed between him and Jesus to be fixed. But the Lord was God over that. And the Lord was able to look over there at that man that had nothing left to offer in this world from the standpoint of good works. Nothing that he could do for a credit chip in the things of righteousness and godliness from a fruit standpoint. All he had to offer was a contrite heart and a broken spirit. And that day the Lord looked across at him and spoke some of the most wonderful words that he had ever heard. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Do you think today that the man that was nailed to the cross regrets that he was crucified? He's probably one of the only people out there that has no regrets of the crucifixion day. I'd like to talk to him one of these days. I'd like to meet him up in heaven and ask him, what did it feel like when you were on the cross? What did it feel like when you felt broken and when you felt like there was no opportunity for redemption anymore? And when you looked in your past and you realized that I have failed and now I'm going to be dying and I'm going to be meeting God and there seemed to be nothing left. What did it feel like when you felt that despair and then you looked over and you saw Jesus over there and he looked at you? What went through your heart? Did you feel chills go down you? Did you feel something cover your life on that day when you were on the cross? What did it feel like when the Lord forgave you of your sins when you had nothing to offer the Lord? That was quite a day for him, you know that? But you know that the enemy comes along our way sometimes and he does everything he can to try to tell me and to try to tell you that we are no longer in a place where the Lord can receive us with open arms. The enemy would like to make us second-class Christians if he at all can, and take the joy out of our experience. Oh, this morning you may say, well, I haven't been a thief. I haven't been nailed to the cross. I haven't been caught in adultery. I haven't really stolen a lot like Zacchaeus did. Those don't really apply to me. It seems like the Lord does great things for people who do great sin. But that's not where I'm at. Have you ever felt hungry? Have you ever felt hungry and you're not sure what it is you're hungry for? You're endeavoring to follow the Lord. You want to serve the Lord. You want Him to be pleased with your life and you're doing everything you really kind of know to do, and yet there's that hunger pain that you have that you're not quite sure how to satisfy. And you look around and you try to find maybe something on hand that would satisfy the longing that you have, and it just doesn't look like the answer's there. Have you been there? I think about the multitude that was on the hillside that day. They were following the Lord. Did you know that many of them wanted to make contact with the Lord? They had gone to some sacrifice to go and follow after, to listen to the words of the Lord. And yet, they were on the hillside that day and they were hungry. Have you ever felt that? Hungry? Spiritually hungry? You try to eat some things and yet it doesn't satisfy? Have you ever been on a diet before and took bread out of your diet? I have, and it doesn't work very well. It's not very long. It doesn't matter how much meat you eat. Pretty soon, it's like, I am missing something. I'm missing bread. And you know, sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we can do everything we know to do, and yet sometimes we feel like there's just something that's missing. Did you know what the Lord's response to that was? He looked out across the multitudes and He had compassion. And I think this morning about the compassion that the Lord has for me and the compassion that the Lord has for you when we find ourselves, His people, that are endeavoring to follow Him, and yet there are times we feel spiritually hungry and we don't know what to do. Is it just me that's been there? Have you cried tears before? And you look to the Lord to understand what the answer is? And you look in your own tool bag, and you look in your own refrigerator, and you look all around you, and you can't find the answer to satisfy. And yet you come to the Lord with that. Did you know that the Lord looks up on us with compassion and care? And do you know what He asks of us? Just give me what you have. And the Lord is ready, if we're willing. He's ready to take what we have and will multiply it in our behalf if we'll just believe and not turn away from Him. Did you know there might have been some people on the hillside that day that started to get hungry? And they said, you know what? I'm feeling kind of hungry about right now. And I'm not seeing any food around here. It looks like I'm not going to make it in time for dinner. I think I'm headed back to the house. They missed a real blessing that day because they didn't allow the Lord to perform the work that He wanted to perform. I want to encourage you this morning, if you feel hungry, if you feel spiritually needy, and you're not sure what the answer is, don't turn away from the Lord. Don't walk away. Don't let the enemy steal from you the miracle that the Lord wants to work for you in your life. You know, sometimes we're kind of like that woman from Samaria. We come back to the same well over and over, hoping for a different result. She came on that day and it was, well, I don't know, maybe it was a winter day. I like to think of it as a hot, dry day. A woman that was thirsty, and she came back to that old well again, and she had thirst and heat and five husbands and a well that had not satisfied stand between her and the Messiah. But the Lord was able to close that gap. And on that day, He spoke to the woman who seemed to not have anything that would otherwise earn her good graces with Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt like that you don't have? When you look around, the enemy likes us to look around, by the way. We can look around at brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and it seems like they've just got it all together. And we think, I'm not worthy. I don't rank high enough. I don't have a good enough life. I don't have what it takes for the Lord to be willing to take special time out for me. But you know that the Lord did exactly that for that woman from Samaria that day. And He told her a special secret that He hadn't told a whole lot of people. She was needy. She was thirsty. She was unfulfilled. And the Lord said, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that everybody's looking for. Don't you think that's special? You know why that's special to me? It's special to me because she didn't have anything spiritual to offer the Lord except an open and a needy heart and a willingness to listen to what He had to say. And the Lord was willing to come down and meet her where she was at and give her the most special message that so many others would have liked to have heard, a special message from Jesus. I'm the Messiah. And I have what you're looking for. Did you know that the Lord has that message for all of us this morning that He wants to bring to us? The Scripture tells us in the 10th chapter of John, He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I suspect this morning, in a crowd this size, I suspect that there are some here that have had needs in their hearts and in their lives, and as they look backwards, there's things back there that continue to nag and rent space in your mind. And as much as you'd like to try to get rid of it and put it behind you, sometimes there's things in our life that we try to smooth and plow the ground up and it looks all pretty and we feel okay for a little while, and sure enough, we look out the window and it's poking its head up again. Sometimes there's things that it's almost like we die a death in. Maybe we feel like we're still saved, but there's things that it just seems like I'm not going to be able to overcome that, and it's just going to haunt me and drag me down spiritually for the rest of my experience. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord over death. Jesus Christ is Lord over all of the time that has passed that encompasses your failings. Do you know that sometimes we get down and discouraged because of the length of time that we have failed? Everybody has heard of the 2-second rule? You know, if somebody drops something on the ground, you grab it real quick, not more than 2 seconds has passed, you plop it in your mouth and it's supposed to be okay. I'm not sure I totally agree with that. Depends on where it dropped. But if it's set out there for a long time in the dirt, most of us said there's something a little bit more contaminated about that than that thing that's been on the ground for 2 seconds. And you know that the enemy takes advantage of that in our lives. And sometimes we have things that have been in our lives for a long time that we're not proud of. We have things in our lives that have pulled us down and has discouraged us, and we realize this is not where I want to be. And the enemy has a way of using that and trying to leverage that amount of time that we've been in trouble against us. Folks, Jesus Christ is Lord over time. Jesus Christ is God over the time that has encompassed our failures. Jesus Christ is Lord over none of the above. Have you ever taken tests, and it says, what's the solution? And you get to the first one and you read it and you say, oh, that's not it. And you come to the next one and you go, that's not it either. And you come to the next one, option C. That's not it. And maybe there's 5 choices. Sometimes there's 4, sometimes there's 5. You get to D, looking for a solution. That's not it. Sometimes with relief, you get to the bottom and it says none of the above. And you go, that's it. But in our lives, when we have spiritual trouble, we don't like coming down to the end and finding none of the above. Right? But we find that in life. We find that we go through and we try to figure out the solution to the trouble that we're in. And we like solutions because it makes us sleep better at night. It does me. And we look for, Lord, how can I make this right? How can I change this to where everything will be okay? And we can get to the bottom, and in our own intellect, in our own way, we can find no way out. And we get to the bottom and it says, none of the above. And I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord over that scenario. The Lord is a God who revels in us coming to Him and saying, Lord, I see no solution. Lord, I have nothing to offer. Lord, I don't know the answer. Lord, I don't know how I got here. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this fog. the Lord wants to help close that gap with us today. And I know sometimes we don't feel worthy to come to the Lord, and sometimes we think that the reason there's no solutions available is because God doesn't care enough about us. That's a lie of the enemy. We live in a new dispensation time when the Lord has brought grace and truth to us. I was reading sometime back, I was sitting out reading in the old law when Moses was getting ready to go up on Mount Sinai, and the Lord gave instruction to Moses, and he said, I'm going to make myself known to the people. But he said, here's what I want you to do first. He said, I want you to create a boundary around the mountain. Remember that? And he said, put a boundary around the mountain. And he said, listen, if any man, woman, or beast cross that boundary or touch the boundary, they shall surely die. They'll be stoned or they'll be shot through. No one is going to cross that boundary and approach where I am. And I remember sitting that day reading that, and it's almost like I felt a kind of a depression start to wash over me. And I thought, Lord, what chance do I have? I'm not Moses. I'm not Aaron. Lord, I don't think I'm on your... I don't feel qualified to be on the A-list. Lord, how could that be that you created that boundary? Lord, how can I stand in judgment of a God that's the same today that He was then? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever read some of those accounts and wondered how you're going to fare? And as I was sitting there meditating on that, I felt like that the presence of the Lord came down in my vehicle that day. And the Lord said, I didn't like that either. I didn't like putting that boundary there either. That's the reason why I sent my Son. That's the reason I came down and paid the price, that we could take that boundary away and set up a road that goes straight to my throne, a city of refuge that you could run to, straight to Jesus Christ, and have access to grace and mercy and truth on an individual basis. This is an individual, personal salvation that God has for us today. And the Lord wants to come and meet the needs of our hearts and in our lives. In the 4th chapter of Luke, we read where the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Have you ever felt poor? "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Have you ever been brokenhearted? Has your heart ever hurt because of something else? Somebody else's life or your own? Have you felt brokenhearted? Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Have you ever felt in captivity to something in life? Recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Folks, I know that I'm not in a congregation this morning that is filled with people who are not saved. I came this morning knowing that I was going to be preaching to a congregation of people that as a whole wants to serve the Lord. But I felt like the Lord especially inspired me with this message to give to you, to put the enemy on his heels, because I feel like the enemy is out to take our peace and our joy, and to try to tell you that somehow you have an individual situation that doesn't apply to all of the promises that are in the Word of the Lord. Jesus Christ came to close that gap. I suspect that the enemy is whispering in your... If you're in that place, And there is something that has come to your mind in the course of the message this morning. The enemy is so quick to come and tell you that this message doesn't apply to you. He's so quick to try to come and have all of the reasons why you are exempt from the grace and the mercy that Jesus Christ brought. And I want to encourage you this morning and tell you, you are not exempt from that. I feel like the enemy is out to take the peace away from his people today. Did you know that if he can't cause you to sin, he'll do everything he can to cause you to be discouraged? He'll do everything he can to cause you to be in a place where you're not able to serve the Lord with gladness. Jesus Christ wants us to serve the Lord with gladness. You may be saved this morning. The enemy may not be able to say you're not saved, but he likes to come along and put darkness around us in life. He likes to bring things to our hearts and our minds that maybe happened in the past. He likes to bring things to our mind that are at present in our lives, things that we want to get the victory over. And he likes to try to tell us you're not going to be qualified for the mercy of the Lord until you clean that up. Folks, that's why Jesus Christ came. Because I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. That's why Jesus Christ came. It's not of my righteousness that I'm saved. It's not of your righteousness that you are saved. Sometimes I feel like that the enemy's doing everything he can to get the people of God, to get us this morning, to almost have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ and the cross and mercy and truth. And yet at the same time, the enemy gets us to the place where we almost like we're under the old law again. And somehow we have to live in a certain way and cross all of the boxes off and be righteous according to the whole law so that we can present our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, I did this and this and this and I haven't crossed this teaching and I'm okay here. And we're just, you know what I'm saying? We feel like we're running a marathon that we're never going to win because we can't ever be good enough. And the enemy likes to get us in that trap and take the joy of the Lord away from us. We are saved by grace. And that not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift from God. We are saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not my own righteousness. Don't let the enemy get you in the place where you live a discouraged and unhappy life. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that has made us. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Come before His presence with singing and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. What did it say next? His mercy endureth forever. His truth endureth through all generations. Folks, it applies to us. And I just want to expose the enemy this morning. He's doing everything he can to try to get us to feel like we have to earn heaven. He's doing everything he can to get us to think that there is just darkness ahead. And you just sit in your unofficial designated pew spot, observe all the religious activities that you know you need to do, and maybe you'll be able to observe a miraculous working on the behalf of somebody else. Folks, Jesus Christ didn't come to do works for just somebody else. Jesus Christ came to do a work in your behalf. He came to give you victory. He came to carry your load. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, let me help pull the load. Let me do the heavy lifting. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's the same truth today as it was when that scripture was said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. Be encouraged this morning. I want you to go away fortified in your spirit, fortified in your strength, in your walk, in your journey. God is a God who loves you. He cares about you. He has everything under control if you'll stick with Him. Don't turn away from Him. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you, yes, you, unexpected end. And then what did He say? In the day that ye seek Me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. Don't turn away from the Lord. And before I end this morning, I just want to expose the enemy one more time. Because you might be sitting out there and you might be saying, Preacher, I have been following the Lord. I have been asking the Lord for help. I've been doing everything I know to do and the cloud is still there. I still can't see ahead. My eyes are still darkened. I still have an issue in my life. I still feel less than adequate. I still feel like I don't have the answer. I still feel like I'm hungry, and yet I've been doing everything I know to do to continue to come before the Lord. And I want to encourage you with this in closing. Daniel felt the same way. Daniel, the prophet, went before the Lord, and he had something that he wanted of the Lord, and for days he sacrificed and didn't eat and gave up and poured himself out before the Lord and heard nothing. No answer. Have you been there? You come before the Lord? Oh, we live in a time. Instant gratification. We want our answer right now. You hungry? We'll have it to you momentarily. You want to go across the U.S.? We'll have you there by this afternoon. You want to know about something? Push a couple buttons and it's there. And if we're not really careful, we can get into the place where when we come before the Lord, if we don't get an answer to our satisfaction, we start feeling like somehow God doesn't hear us. I want to encourage you this morning. Daniel came before the Lord and poured himself out before the Lord for days and heard nothing. But he didn't give up. And he kept coming before the Lord. And one day, the Lord appeared unto him and he said, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved this morning. He told him, he said, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come to give thy words from the Lord. From the first day, God hears your prayers. God hasn't forsaken you. There's nothing getting past His eyesight. He knows where you are. He cares. He hasn't forsaken you. He's still God. He still has a grand plan that He's working on that's bigger than what I can take in. He asks us to trust. He asks us to believe. And if we will, folks, the Lord will take us home. He'll get us through. He'll bring us out into a wealthy place. If we'll follow and believe in His promises, because He is faithful that promised. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.